I've been down roads from Churchill to L.A. Met kings of speed and stars along the way. They got stories that the cameras never show. Yeah, the truth behind the fame is what we know. From the saddle to the silver screen glow, fast lanes and punch lines on a late night show. You think you've seen it all, but you don't know the half till the curtain lifts and we all have a laugh. It's not just who they are, it's how they came to be. A little horsepower, a little mystery. It's Hollywood and horsepower, baby. Take a ride where the legends laugh and the engines never hide. From the track to the spotlight, stories unwind. Yeah, the truth's a little wild and one of a kind. Hollywood and horsepower, where the real ones show. Every twist and turn is a tale you didn't know. So pour a drink, sit back, enjoy the show. Where the fast and famous let it all go.
Welcome to Hollywood and Horsepower, the show about the story behind the story. We are brought to you today by Tony's Steak and Seafood in Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Lexington, Kentucky, and Bowling Green, Kentucky. At Tony's, as Tony always says, there's always room at his table for one more. And I tell everybody that I send there, you have to understand, Tony's is an experience, not just going to dinner. Do yourself a favor. If you're in any place where he has a restaurant, make your reservations today. We also want to remind everybody we support two big charities in this show. One is No Fallen Heroes. If you can do a little or a lot, help them any way you can. The other one is oldfriendsequine.org. Old Friends is a thoroughbred retirement home for retired racehorses in Lexington, Kentucky, Georgetown actually, but it's right near Lexington. Do yourself a favor. If you're anywhere in the area, check them out. Which kind of brings into our guest today. We are joined today by a very special guest, Michael Behrens. And Michael is the executive of My Racehorse. My Racehorse is a fractional ownership group, and I'll let Michael explain more. But the cool thing about this is it's a way for anyone at any income level to get involved. So we are very honored to have Michael join us today. Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to jump right into it, Michael. I mean, you guys have a really cool organization. I mean, you almost want to call it a club, but I know that's probably not the right, I don't know how you guys describe it, but it's a really cool way for people to be part of horse racing without, you know, a huge spend.
Yeah, I mean, I think you described it pretty well. I think we call it more of a platform. I'll just back up for a second if I can, before I get too into it. I always was into horse racing. I grew up about 15 miles from San Diego Race Park. And we'd go out and kind of senior year in high school started going and went to San Diego State and not too far from Del Mar and spent some fun Saturdays with some friends at the racetrack and always really, really enjoyed it.
And then my favorite track in the world.
Yes. I mean, a Saturday in the summer at Del Mar, I mean, there's nothing like it. I know there's a lot of people that will have the debate, Saratoga, the spa in the summer versus Del Mar in the summer. But I mean, that's 72 degrees, that beach a half a mile away or less, it's hard to beat it. But anyways, I had, you know, life took over. I had three kids and I was running an ad agency. We're a pretty large digital marketing agency in Pasadena, California, and didn't get to go as often as I would have liked. And when the company sold, I had a little bit of liquidity and wanted to scratch that itch of getting involved in racehorse ownership. I mean, I loved it as a fan. I loved the experience. I loved the competition, the trainers, the jockeys, obviously the horses themselves. But I really wanted to see what the other side was like. And not just be kind of the fan, but I wanted to be the owner. And when I looked at the significance of the cost to get involved, that tagline, the sport of kings, it really hit home. It was extremely expensive. The people I met with were amazing about sharing kind of the risk and the expense to get involved in horse racing. And I just thought there had to be a better way. And so we just started putting our heads together on what we could do. And we actually learned from the Japanese and Australian racing cultures that are very significant around fractional ownership. I think something like 17% of all the horses in Japan are actually owned by the fans through shares. I think one of every 200 people in Australia owns a racehorse. So it's just these cultures that are very vibrant within racing, really embrace fractional. And I thought that sounds great. So we went on a journey to build a platform that would offer fractional ownership. And fast forward, 7 years later now, we have about 100,000 people across the globe, mainly in the U.S. and Australia, that own racehorses as a result of my racehorse.
That's amazing. So it's interesting to me that, and I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, the experience is amazing. Del Mar, I mean, you're beyond fortunate. That's one of my favorite tracks in the world. And I think, so it's interesting to me that, I had a similar background. So my background came from marketing, product placement, worked with ad agencies, worked with, manufacturing representatives. And I would go to Del Mar, I'd go to Santa Anita, mainly because I was out there for work. And I just fell in love with it. But it is a little daunting. And, from someone from the outside, and I've always said that that's something that's kind of, for me, and you were a little closer to it, but even for you and probably a lot of your partners and members, is that, from someone from the outside, it's a little daunting to figure out where to start. And I think that's one of the biggest things that my racehorse has solved, if you will, for a lot of people, is it gives somebody a clear path, an easy way to get involved and kind of not only feel the ownership side of it, but also learn a little bit more about the sport from the inside.
No doubt. I mean, I think you nailed it on the head when you said where to start. I mean, I think that most really interesting businesses of the last, 10 years or so, I feel like what they did an amazing job is they realized that consumers don't have a lot of mind share to do a bunch of investigation. Things can get really confusing when you're trying to describe new products. And so what they did is they said, you know what? We're going to offer it really easy to try our products. I mean, I remember being in San Francisco when Uber came out and your first ride was free. Or Grubhub comes out, what do you mean I can deliver it via my phone? And your first month of Grubhub delivery was free. You think about Netflix, they came out with rentals of DVDs and the subscription service. Your first month was free. I worked for Casper, which was one of the fastest growing mattress companies of all time. And we gave your mattress for 100 nights as a risk-free trial. And so I think that's what great consumer brands do, is they help consumers who are curious and interested to make it really easy to get involved. And I think horse racing, specifically horse race ownership, never had that opportunity until my racehorse came around. Because now our average share price is about $100. And we're not talking about horses that are cheap horses or being trained with maybe unestablished trainers. We're talking some of the best pedigrees being trained like great horsemen like Bob Baffert and Todd Fletcher. We won the Preakness, 2 years ago with, the great D. Wayne Lucas. We are surrounded by the best pedigrees, the best, horsemen, and we're allowing consumers to come in for as little as $100 if that's how they want to get started.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think people realize, to your point, when we're talking about what you could purchase for $100, and when they say, $100 per share, I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking, well, yeah, but how many shares do you have to buy? And it's like, you could buy one share. So you could literally step off for $100. And to give you an example, my racehorse has been winner of the Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup Classic, Preakness, Pat Day. I realize for some of our listeners, some of these other races may not jump out at them, but they've been they've been winners of some of the largest grade one, which is the top level of horse racing and thoroughbred racing that there is. And, you know, that's pretty impressive. And to your point, you're working with some of the best trainers in the industry. I mean, I know Bob personally, Bob and Jill, and I think Bob and Jill Baffert are some of the best horsemen in the industry. And I realize some people might be, you know, arguing with me on the radio, but I'm telling you from personal experience, and this is not anybody else's two cents, being involved with old friends kind of gives you a little bit of a view into how horses have been treated. And I'm not going to point at anybody, but I will point to Bob. And this is unsolicited. In fact, if anybody's screaming at their radio right now, it's probably Bob telling me to shut up. But his horses come in looking amazing. I mean, from Silver Charm, Game On Dude, Dan the Bluegrass Man when he was there, War Emblem. It's amazing to me how great they look, even in retirement. And that, to me, is a testament going back to Bob and Jimmy Barnes. You know, they just do a terrific job. And the reason I'm doing this isn't, you know, to give a plug on Bob. It really gives you an idea of the level that you can step into being part of my racehorse. You know, you're not running it like some small track that no one's ever heard of. You know, you're at Santa Anita, Del Mar, Gulfstream, you know, you're at the major tracks. And this gives people a real opportunity to get involved. So walk us through this, Michael. Let's say I'm interested in becoming a fractional owner. How does that work and what does it really mean? And then what do I get for my membership?
So I'll take you through kind of the full funnel, and we can dive a little deeper if a certain area deserves it. But we made it pretty simple. I remember when we first started out to do this, we had said, look, the only way this is going to work is if it's relatively simple. And there's a complexity that we're built on that made that statement of simplicity a little bit more challenging than you first may think. So the only way to do what we want to do, which is offer real fractional ownership of a racehorse to, you know, people in the United States, was to be governed by the Securities Exchange Commission and FINRA. So what happens when you take an asset like a horse and you fractionalize it into hundreds or thousands of parts and allow people to have a real equity interest, at that point you have created a security. So this idea had been tossed around for, you know, a lot of years by a lot of really smart people that knew it was better to make racehorse ownership accessible to more people. But the challenge became the securities compliance requirements. And so we decided that we were going to build this, but we're going to build it with a kind of a focus on simplicity. So we're going to be regulated, we're going to do it legal, we're going to do it fair, but we're also going to, at the same time, not make it too complicated. So we spent a good amount of time building the My Racehorse app, which basically meets all the requirements that the Securities Exchange Commission, our broker dealer, FINRA, need, but also makes it very easy for the user. So the user can download the My Racehorse app. They can go to the MyRacehorse.com website. They can look to see what horses are available. They can get all the information about who's going to train the horse, why we bought the horse. They can look at all the financials in terms of how much we paid for the horse, how much is going to go into training, how much is going to go into care, what the insurance policy was created at, what the breeding on the horse was. If there's workout videos, you can watch the workout videos. So everything you'd expect if you were going to buy the whole horse is available to the users that want to get involved fractionally. If they find something they're looking for, we have the offerings, the prospectus that's basically filed with the SEC, is all available to be reviewed. And then if you find something you like, you accept the terms, and you decide to purchase 1, 10, 100 shares, whatever you want it purchasing, you purchase there. It takes a minute or two on the app, and then that horse is then added to your ownership stable. And then you start receiving all the benefits, which are the content from the trainer, from the jockey, and all the perks that you get as owning a racehorse. So maybe that's box seating, maybe that's a farm tour, maybe that's a paddock access or a winner's circle access if you're lucky enough. All that is delivered through the My Racehorse app.
How's that So I think that's something else to point out to our listeners is that, you know, this is all done by app. So it's not like you have to fill out a bunch of forms. It's not like you're trying to, you know, email or fax something in, or you're spending a half hour on the phone with somebody. You can literally do this from your phone while you're sitting on the beach. And I think that today that's attractive. I think the other thing that's interesting is having the app, it really gives people access at their fingertips to get immediate updates, communicate, see what the opportunities are, see what's coming up, you know, and to that point, you know, tell us a little bit about like events, like things that My Racehorse does with its members.
Well, I think one of the most enjoyable parts of owning a racehorse is getting to know the racehorse. And that might be through the lens of the trainer, an assistant trainer, a groom, an exercise rider, or hopefully getting out to the farm yourself and getting to meet your horse. So one of the things that we do is that we create a section called owner perks. So, you know, you buy a racehorse, then you're basically entitled to the perks that a full owner would get. Now, of course, we have to kind of share those experiences with, you know, 100 or 1,000 or in some cases 5,000 people who are on the horse. So, you know, you can't just show up at the farm whenever you'd like, or, you know, show up to the paddock and expect to get in without kind of going through the proper processes. But what we do is on the app, if you tell us, hey, I'm going to be in this area and we're having a tour to go see one of your horses, we're having a morning to come see one of the horses at the farm, you enter into the lottery. You're told several days beforehand if you were randomly selected. If you are selected, then you'll meet a My Racehorse staff member there. You'll get out to the farm. You'll see your horse. You can take some pictures, ask the trainer questions, all depending on kind of, you know, how the day is constructed. We try to throw as many of those perks as possible. And most of the time, those are just all free. They're all included. And then once in a while, we try to do some really larger activities to make sure that we can get as many people access as possible. So Ocala, OBS, the Ocala Breeders' Sale, they are so kind and generous with their venue. It's where a lot of big horses are bought as two-year-olds. It's down in Ocala, Florida. And they allow us every year to ship all of our horses in. And the trainers will come in. We'll have a bunch of exercise riders come in. And they will train. They will work out. They will meet. They will talk to all the partners that come out there. This year, we had over 750 people come out and just hang out and be with their horses, meet their horses, bring family and friends. We had all the stalls open so people would go back there and pet on the horses and take pictures and ask a bunch of questions and learn their personalities. So, you know, that's a big part of it. I mean, I wish we could allow everybody to go out every single day and see all the horses. But, you know, when you have shared ownership, you're going to have, you know, shared experiences. But I think we do a pretty darn good job as making as many experiences available to the partners as we can.
No, I think that's a great point. And you guys do a really good job. And, you know, another thing I think that is really impressive to me, and as you know, I spend part of the year in South Florida. You guys have like your own pavilion, for lack of better words, your section at Gulfstream. And it's like the coolest. I think you guys have the best seat in the house. I mean, it's like this big open air, you know, pavilion with its own bar, its own entertainment. It's adjacent to, you know, food, and it's literally steps past the finish line.
And we do try to make the experiences. I mean, when you own a racehorse, it's an amazing accomplishment to get your horse to the races, and we want people to have the best possible time that horse gets in the starting gate. And so we work with different tracks and try to create what you're referring to as our kind of Gulfstream lounge. We've had lounges at Santa Anita and Del Mar. Actually, just speaking of, you know, racehorse ownership experiences, we've got a horse with Wesley Ward right now that is actually shipping over to Royal Ascot to run in the that meet. We actually have about 25 owners that are going to go for the entire week and go tour farms and go see some of the highlights of the UK and really just have an immersive experience. They're going out for the whole week, and then it's going to end with being able to watch their horse on Friday run in a handicap.
For those that are listening to us that don't know horse racing, Royal Ascot is like probably the most elegant race in horse racing, in my opinion. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but to me, this is where people dress in coat and tails, top hat. The Queen of England will attend. You know, the King of England will attend. You're brought in by carriage. It's truly, I mean, if you watch Downton Abbey, this makes you feel like you're part of it. It's that type of elegant atmosphere. And it's the, I don't know, it's truly an experience. That's amazing that you guys have that level. I mean, personally, that's like a step above the Kentucky Derby to me.
It's funny you say that. A lot of people will tell us some of our international experiences. Last year, or the year before,
no offense to the Kentucky Derby.
We went to Dubai. We had a horse.
Oh, that's another straight. One.
Yeah, straight no chaser who wind up becoming the Eclipse champion for being the best sprinter, and he wind up going over to Saudi and then winning in Riyadh a $2 million race, and then went over to Dubai for that carnival, which is an amazing carnival. And we had a bunch of Americans come over. We spent the whole week there. We did all the tours that you'd want to do. And we got to basically hang out with the trainer and watch the horse prepare every morning and had an amazing day at the races. So our international experiences wind up being really fun. I think a lot of people do this because they expect, hey, I grew up not too far from Saratoga or Del Mar or, you know, Keeneland, and I'd love to be able to kind of experience ownership as an owner. I think they're very pleasantly surprised that these horses take you on sometimes a much bigger journey than what you even imagined.
And that's a very good point. You know, it's what one of the things that I have noticed, and I've met a lot of your members, and I'm, you know, probably, you know, casualty of what I do, but I am always curious about people's story. And what's interesting to me is that of your members that I've met, and I've met a lot of them because I'm around Gulfstream a lot, I'm around Keeneland a lot, and, you know, Santa Anita several times a year. You run into people, you start talking to them. It's amazing how many people, they come from all different walks of life. I've met everybody from mailmen to CEOs that are members. And, you know, the thing that's interesting to me is a lot of them really don't have a background in horse racing. It's an experience. It's an event. It's something that they feel like it's a camaraderie or something that they have kind of like a vested interest in with other people, community, for lack of better words. And then it gives you a way to be at the upper level. I tell people this all the time. Horse racing, I've been involved in almost every sport there is, from NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, F1, NASCAR. Horse racing is probably one of the most accessible sports that I've ever been involved in. And what I mean is, there, you know, and this takes it a step forward from being accessible in general, but you're able to, this is like continuing to evolve to me in the industry. And that's why I think this is such a cool concept. The, you know, in a sport where you can go and stand at the rail at Gulfstream and possibly have a jockey or a grade one trainer or a Hall of Fame trainer walk up next to you and start talking to you. Now you've gone to the next level where you can experience ownership with a horse like Straight No Chaser that is won on an international level, won on a Breeders' Cup level. And, you know, for those that aren't aware, Dubai, again, extremely elegant, world-class horse racing. And I think the difference to me, and I'm, you know, I didn't grow up in horse racing, so I'm not an expert. I'm just giving you my 2 cents, is probably worth one. But, you know, when you look at it, it's like, that's so much, so interesting to me because you're on an international level. Like a lot of the races here, sometimes there's international horses that come in, but a lot of it is like 3-year-olds in the U.S. or 2-year-olds in the U.S. You go to Dubai or you go to Royal Ascot, you're competing with horses from all over the world. And in Dubai, these are horsemen. I mean, I know for people who don't realize, the thoroughbred breed kind of came from that region. You know, that was where, you know, the Darley thoroughbred stallions were shipped to England and bred with warm bloods. And that was kind of the beginning of you know, thoroughbreds. When you think about it in that light, these people have been in horse racing for hundreds of years. I mean, they know horses. So to go and compete on that level is amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up a lot of really interesting points. I think one thing that you brought up that I think sometimes maybe we get actually even too much credit for is horse racing is an unbelievably accessible sport. And I think what we've done a good job of is we've actually curated that accessibility. It's amazing how generous the jockeys and the trainers are with their time and stopping and talking to fans and fractional owners and you know, how open the tracks have been to allow you kind of get on the rail and hear the horses working out in the morning, or, you know, getting access to the paddock or the winner's circle or backside tours. And a lot of the tracks now are open up backside tours. I mean, we work with Horse Country. We're a proud sponsor of Horse Country out here in Lexington. And they've done an amazing job working with all the local farms to get tourists, I think, up towards 40,000 people a year to come and visit the farms that are housing some of our most influential, you know, stallions and broodmares, from, you know, the Justifies to the Into Mischiefs to the Not This Times. They're all part of these Horse Country, you know, travels. And I think what's happened is the sport itself is very accessible, but there hasn't been great marketing around that accessibility, or there hasn't been kind of great aggregators or curators of all that accessibility. So when you think about somebody like us, that our goal is to give you fractional ownership and then give you an amazing experience with it. I mean, our company is called Experiential Squared. We did this because we think owning something it enriches the experience in a compounding way. So I do think that we're benefiting tremendously from a sport that actually is quite accessible that maybe most people don't know about.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's something that I always try to tell people. You know, if you go to an NFL football game, it's not likely that you're going to bump into a coach or a player. I mean, it's possible, but it's not as likely. If you go to a horse racing track, thoroughbred racing, doesn't matter if it's Del Mar or Saratoga, Gulfstream or Keeneland, there's a pretty good chance somewhere during the day you're going to cross paths with an owner, a trainer, a jockey. And to your point, I found them extremely accessible. I mean, it's kind of interesting, and I'm living proof of this. You know, I came from outside the industry. I really kind of first got involved through a company I was working with in horse racing about 2010, 11. And I've always said I was very fortunate to meet the right people at the right time. And as I alluded to, like, I've gotten to know Bob Baffer, I've gotten to know a lot of people, you know, Terry Finley, a lot of people in this industry. And everyone has been so gracious, so kind, and so accommodating. I mean, you know, and you know, Bob I met through old friends. You know, we were both supporters of old friends, and I met him through Michael Blowen. And, you know, I got to know him as a person. I mean, he's a terrific guy. Terry Finley, him and I met at Santa Anita, standing in the area by the paddock, and just started talking to each other. I had no idea who he was. So it's like, it's amazing how people in this industry just will strike up a conversation with you. And I think that that's something really exciting. I always tell people that, you know, it's like, it's so much fun to spend an afternoon at a racetrack, you know, and there's all different levels, right? I mean, you can do everything from, and that's what I want to stress to people, is that I think sometimes there's this image that it's, you know, a black tie event and you have to be of a certain, you know, level to be able to attend this stuff. There's everything from a general admission, hot dog and a beer on the apron, to, you know, sweet seating upstairs where, you know, you and some of your friends can have catered dinner and everything in between. So, I mean, I always encourage people to experience it. You know, I mean, if you're traveling, we're big on this show about, you know, experiences. So if you're traveling, you know, go to a local racetrack, go experience it. You know, it's a great, you know, afternoon. It's fun. It's engaging. The people are kind, they're accommodating. It's amazing to me how, you know, and I notice this stuff more because I kind of come from the outside, is how, like, accommodating and kind people are. Like, though, most people that are hanging around will take the time to talk to you, explain something. And that kind of brings up the next question, like, how do you take a person who basically is interested in this for kind of like the experience? Like, they're looking to be involved in something, but they're looking to be for something kind of fun, and help them understand the sport. Do you guys have things that kind of help people get initiated, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the majority of people that are part of ownership with My Racehorse weren't in the industry. They weren't sons or daughters of trainers. They weren't, you know, related to jockeys. They weren't, you know, part of track families in terms of executives at worker tracks. These are people who grew up enjoying the races, maybe on a Saturday, watching the Kentucky Derby, always had a curiosity, wanted to be more participatory, didn't know where to start. And so I'd say that's the vast majority of people, is that they're kind of casual, they've been interested, and they just want to more deeply immerse themselves. So a big part of our responsibility is education. So, I mean, I do think that one of the things that people really have given us a lot of positive feedback on every single year, we survey all the partners and the fractional owners on the platform in, you know, the US, the UK, Australia, across the world. And one of the things we keep getting back is the owner updates, the content, the feedback from our analysts, from the industry, from the trainers, and how educational and exciting that is super important. So we do realize that it's a very important part of the journey, is to not only allow them the access to the horse, which is fun, but also access to the knowledge, access to the insights that make this sport run. And on top of that, what I do find to be probably the most educational component of fractional ownership with My Racehorse is sometimes not us, but it's actually the communities that you become a part of. So, you know, for we have horses that have 2,000, 3,000 owners, Authentic had 5,000 owners, Seize the Gray had 2,500 owners. And what happens is these people start meeting each other through our owner community groups. They start meeting each other at the racetrack, and they start sharing all their experiences. And you start developing a network of people and a cohort of people who share the passion as much as you do, and are maybe at different parts of their journey in terms of what they've learned so far, or what they have access to, or what they're interested in. And collectively, you're just really getting to surround yourself with people who share the same passion and bring a bunch of different perspective. And we've had people who have met through our, you know, partnerships and gone on and bought their own horses in partnership together. We've had people go on and start their own stables, and I know of a couple who bought their own farm that fell, you know, so much in love with it, and now are kind of doing some syndication with some friends they met amongst the journey. So it really is a kind of a combination between we know we have a responsibility to educate and share information, but you're also going to join a community, and you're going to find a ton of interesting people that can be quite accretive to your journey.
And I think that that is something that is really cool, that, you know, you're part of a community, you're experiencing this with other people that are, you know, of the same interest. And then the other thing I think that is really cool too, is that, you know, every place that you guys have, you know, membership, which is, you know, nationwide or worldwide now, you also have, and you alluded to it, you know, other experiences. So could be anything from, you know, farm tours to, like you were talking about the Royal Ascot, you're going to do some other things out there that culminates with the actual race. And then, you know, also, you know, I know a lot of people really like, you know, finding that cool restaurant or that cool hole in the wall place that's close to the racetrack. And that's kind of something that I've always told people, I think, that is really cool about horse racing. I've always said, you know, horse racing to me is about food, camaraderie, and racing. And what I mean is, like, it seems like everybody that I talk to, if they start talking about, you know, Del Mar, or they're talking about, you know, and you probably forgot more about the area around Del Mar because you grew up there, but, like, everybody has their favorites. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter who you talk to. It's like there's something that there's a absolute go-to every time they're there. And I think that's the cool thing about it. It's like in Lexington, you know, you go to the races and then you go to Tony's Steak and Seafood downtown for dinner, or you go to the races and you go to Malone's. You go, you know, when I'm in Gulfstream, we go to the Palm a lot. You know, you go to different places, you know, around town. Steve Morano has a great restaurant in Fort Lauderdale. Del Mar, I would always go, which is ironic because they're actually owners, Gary West's restaurant up in Carlsbad. West, you know, is a great place. And then several places around, you know, Del Mar. And I think that that's kind of the other thing that people really enjoy about this is that it's such an experience, is that, you know, your day, you have a great day at the races, you go somewhere great for dinner, you know, it's a true, you know, package. So do you guys have things like that where you kind of put, you obviously do, but I mean, talk a little bit about that. I mean, some of the experience things that you guys put together for your members.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like we talked about before, the going to the races, especially if you have a horse that winds up being in a big stakes race, it's an accomplishment and something that should be celebrated. And I think you're right. When you go into a new track or in a new community, it's not just about the racetrack. It's about the local culture. It's about the local kind of food. And I think we try to take full advantage of that. So like, for instance, when, you know, we've been lucky enough to kind of have a couple of horses in the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. And so the night before, we actually ran out the Brigantine, beautiful restaurant, oversees the racetrack in Solana Beach. So we ran out the whole restaurant. The entire patio is ours, and our trainers come out, and our partners come out, and we just spend a couple of hours celebrating. So we're at a really great kind of local restaurant that a lot of people would only know if they live there. So we're experiencing that. We're experiencing it in kind of this new environment. So people are coming from all over. I'll meet people, and you'd be amazed how far they'll travel in to come watch their horse, and they should. It is a very unique experience to be in a stakes race like that. It doesn't happen to that many people, and we try to appreciate the fact that we know that to come and support your horse, it's going to be a lot more about than just the race day. We were in Maryland for the Preakness, and we did like a crab boil. We'll go to Royal Ascot, and we'll do, you know, tea. We'll go do, you know, morning workouts in Newmarket. And like, we're always looking to combine both local culture and the race itself, because that's a big part of it. And it's, you're going there for more than just the race. The race is obviously the pinnacle and the highlight, but I think the memories are made by the you know, the full experience. And a lot of that is kind of food and local culture.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think to your point, that is what people really enjoy, is that it's a complete experience. It's not just racing. It's like, you know, experiencing other things from local culture to, you know, a little bit more behind the scenes with the industry from the farms or workouts and things. And, you know, one of the things that I've always thought was really cool was how involved a lot of the people that are in horse racing are with other experiences like that, whether it be bourbon tasting or cigar bars or something else. And that's something that, you know, seems to be growing. And I think that you guys are doing a great job of that. I mean, it's like, I think the experience goes beyond just being at the racetrack. And, you know, for our listeners that don't know, you know, when we talk about Del Mar, we talk about Saratoga, it is kind of an East and West thing. It's kind of funny. Like, you know, this is another thing that I've really noticed. One of the most interesting things to me is that the same thing that attracts people to Del Mar seems to attract people to Saratoga, in my opinion. It's just my two cents. But they generally have some sort of a memory. So they remember growing up, going there with their dad, going there with their granddad, their uncle, whatever, and they've continued that. And then it expands because they've exposed people to it. Saratoga, even though I would consider myself more of a Del Mar guy, but Saratoga has always been intriguing to me because I love listening to people tell their stories. You have people that have been coming there for 40 years, getting the same picnic table, camping out in town somewhere, or staying at a hotel or staying at a campground or renting an Airbnb. There's literally, I can honestly tell you, I've met people that do everything from car camp up to renting a house on Lake George. So it's like, again, every income level, every walk of life, this is not something that is limited to certain people. It's open to everybody. Del Mar, to me, you know, for the people that don't know Del Mar, here's what's really interesting to me about Del Mar. Del Mar was started by Bing Crosby. It was started because originally they were looking for some place that was a little bit cooler than Arcadia was at certain times of the year. Arcadia is where Santa Anita is up north of L.A., right by Burbank and Hollywood. It gets very warm there for people that have never been there. And for the horses, that was challenging. Bing recognized the need, found an area that was available. And ironically, there's something about that valley, and you grew up there, so you probably know it better than most, a lot better than I would, but it's always cooler, to the point where that's part of the tagline, you know, is keep it cool. That came from, it was always cooler than LA was. And it's interesting to me, there's actually pictures at Del Mar of Bing Crosby taking tickets on opening day. And, you know, you've seen every celebrity you could think of has walked through those gates. There's pictures everywhere of famous horses, famous people. And I really can't encourage people enough. If you get the opportunity, it's an experience like no other. I mean, every track has, to me, has its unique things. I mean, if you go to Gulfstream, you're, you know, blocks off the ocean. It's a beautiful facility. You literally, the weather is almost always nice. You go to Saratoga, it's kind of like, I joke around, but it's kind of like summer camp for adults. You go to Gulfstream, you go to Del Mar, it's California. I mean, you can literally sit upstairs, like if you go up to the very top, and you can see the ocean from the top seats. It's an amazing place. And, you know, the history is deep, the experience is fun, and there's so many things to do around every racetrack. And that's the other thing I always tell people. The one thing that's cool about horse racing, and then not one thing, I've said one thing several times, there's multiple things, but one of the things that is really cool about horse racing is the fact that it takes you to some really cool places. So being part of something like My Racehorse really helps open the door to take you to cool places. There are not many places that there is a racetrack where it's not kind of a desirable place to go, and for a bunch of different reasons. You know, whether it's local culture, restaurants, traditions. I mean, I just think that that's really cool. I mean, you've been around it a lot. You kind of grew up around it. What are some of your best memories of, like, Del Mar and Santa Anita?
Yeah, it's funny. Before I kind of share a couple of my personal experiences, like listening to talk, it just kind of reinforces so much of the kind of original premise of why we wanted to start My Racehorse. And actually, it kind of manifests itself well. I'm looking at it right now. But our logo, if you look at it, is a kind of a silhouette of a horse head. And there's a kind of road in the middle of it. And the idea would be that every thoroughbred is going to take you on a unique journey. You don't know where it's going to take you, but every one of them, you know, has the ability to take you on something extremely memorable. And I've basically had 95% of all my experiences in kind of the thoroughbred kind of travel and communities as a result of these horses. I had actually never been to Saratoga before, and I had grew up in Del Mar, and I had loved Del Mar, and I had been, you know, it's like everything described about it is exactly right. It's the celebrity opening day was always when I was going to school in San Diego. I mean, it was the event. It was packed. It was impossible to get to. It was on a Friday. Everybody was dressed up. They all kind of showed up to put their best foot forward. And it was just one of the most electric days, a Friday at opening at Del Mar. And you had the beach. I mean, my wife loves going there. We'll get a little house, you know, close by the beach, walk on the beach in the morning, have breakfast at, you know, one of the local restaurants on the sand. and then you spend the day at the beach, and then you find a great place like the Tampa Moose or the Brig to go to dinner. It's great. I've never been to Saratoga before. The most amazing thing about Saratoga is I don't care who you run into, where you decide to eat, where you decide to get gas, you are hearing people talk about the races. I mean, you're hearing your waitress give you tips on the four horse and the three race because they love the way the horse is working out. They talk to their cousins, the exercise rider, and they're hearing a great tip on a maiden. I mean, you walk into the bakery, you walk into a gas station, you walk into a movie theater, and they love horse racing. It's so unique. I've never seen anything like it. And then you also have these other smaller tracks that I love so much. I had never been to Ellis Park here in Kentucky before I had kind of started my racehorse. And it's this amazing family, fair-oriented kind of food truck vibe. I find it to be unbelievably delightful because I just see little kids running around. The jockeys are so close. They stop after a race. They sign autographs to the kids. They joke with the kids. You feel like you're, you know, a handshake away from the horses themselves, the way it's set up. The hospitality is incredible. So I find these local tracks sometimes to be so unique, and maybe they don't get all the rave reviews or the spotlight the Saratogas and the Del Mars and, you know, Keenelands get, but some of these local
another
tracks
hidden
across
gem
the country
in Kentucky
are amazing.
Is Kentucky Downs.
Yeah. Kentucky
you know,
Downs
is
great, just a few minutes outside of Nashville and nobody would even know.
Nobody would even know. And for people that aren't familiar with it, Kentucky Downs to me is one of the most unique tracks because it's not a perfect oval. The sprint to the finish line is uphill. It's a European turf track. It's just one of the most unique places I've ever seen. And, you know, I think that's just amazing. And I apologize, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it just, when you mentioned Ellis, it's like, I agree 1,000%. Plus, I think there's so many of these hidden gems that you guys expose people to.
Yeah, we were just up at Indiana. We had actually just done a collaboration with Sam Houston to try to bring, you know, fractional ownership to Texas in a more meaningful way. And you continue to get exposed to these local tracks, and every one of these local tracks has kind of a unique community, and the personalities are incredible. They're exciting. They're different. It's across the board. It's a really, you know, fun adventure no matter where you wind up kind of settling in. And I think that's one of the things that we're very proud of my racehorse. I do believe that it's really hard to love owning horses if you only get to own one. And what I mean by that is it's an amazing privilege to own a racehorse, by no doubt. But the reality is there's, you know, 17,000 horses born, you know, every year. Only what 1 or 2% ever become stakes horses. And it's fun no matter what kind of achievements your horse has. But there's something really, really special about having one of the best horses in the world. So going able and putting $100 in per racehorse, and let's say your budget is $1,000 or $2,000, that could be 20 horses in your stable. That could be 20 different racetracks you're going to, 20 different farms that your horses are stable at, 20 different trainers that you're working with, 20 plus different jockeys that you have the privilege of getting to know. So it does give you the opportunity not only just to enjoy owning a racehorse, but actually taking in the full totality of racehorse ownership. And that kind of takes a stable and, you know, developing a stable in the traditional world when horses that we're purchasing are averaging about $500,000. I mean, that's something nobody could do, but I think for $100, you know, there's a high probability that people can add a couple of horses that are stable and be able to experience all of what we're talking about today. Cause you do need to have a little bit of diversity, a little bit of a portfolio to be able to embrace all of this.
I agree 100%. And I think another thing you just touched on that we should, you know, tell our listeners is that when we talk about these shares, and I think this probably goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyhow. If you have shares that start at $100, that doesn't, if you want to buy, let's say your budget is $1,000, that doesn't mean you have to buy all $1,000 in one horse. You could buy multiple shares in different horses to give yourself, as you put it, a stable. Build your own stable, have part of multiple horses, and have horses that race on different stages in different areas. For people that aren't familiar with horse racing, all horses don't race at all tracks. So you could have horses that, you know, kind of spend more of their time between like Kentucky and New York, or Kentucky and Florida, or New York and Florida. having multiple horses in your stable, it gives you that opportunity to have something going, kind of for lack of better words, at all times.
Horse racing. Exactly right. Well, one of the things that we do on the My Race Horse, you know, website and app is that we clearly identify what circuit that we think is going to become home base, because for exact reasons that you're saying, some people want to have something local. Some people want to have variety. So they want to have horses that are based in different areas. They want to have horses that are maybe of different age. A lot of people like to buy yearlings and watch them grow up. A yearling is a horse that's actually, you know, 1 year old. He's never had the saddle on. He hasn't gone through the breaking process. And so it's a very early kind of horse, and you have no clue what he could be. He could be a superstar, or he might not be, you know, that fast. You really just never know. You're only buying on confirmation, on pedigree, but you haven't actually seen him become an athlete yet. Some people like to buy two-year-olds. They've seen the horse actually work out. They've seen the horse breathe. They have a little more, you know, confidence that they can project what the horse is going to become. Other horses, people like to only buy horses of racing age. After they've actually started, you know how, you know, quality of the horse maybe. That's how we bought Authentic. We bought him after a win because we aspired to win one of the biggest races in the world, the Kentucky Derby, and we were lucky enough to win it. But on Seize the Gray, he was a son of Arrogate that we bought as a yearling who had never had a saddle on before. So I think the website gives you the opportunity to not only experience those different areas, but you also can look for, you know, different ages and then different trainers. I find the trainers use such different approaches. I never would have guessed it. I would have assumed that the best of the best trainers have gotten there because they figured out kind of this best practices roadmap on how to maximize the athletic ability of a thoroughbred athlete. But it's incredible to me how bespoke and unique these trainers can be with their programs on individual horses and just the way that they differ from each other in terms of their training regimen, and getting the opportunity to see it firsthand how different it can be. If you start to fall in love with racing, which it's hard not to once you kind of, you know, look behind the curtains, you start to really, you know, appreciate and get excited about the differences amongst the different stakeholders in the game.
You know, I have a question. So that kind of leads me to another question, because I agree 100%. You guys have done an amazing job of putting together some of the most remarkable trainers and you know, to and horses. How do you guys go about deciding what horse to buy or what horse to partner with?
That's a great question. So in horse racing, there's an expertise called a bloodstock agent. And their job is to just go ahead and review pedigrees, review confirmations, and help, you know, owners like myself and those that we partner with decide what are the best horses to add to your stable. So we have a team of about four guys on the My Race Horse staff in the U.S., a couple of guys in Australia that basically go to all the sales. Most horses are purchased at public auction if you didn't breed them. And so you get to go to the sale. You get to inspect all the different horses. If it's a two-year-old sale, you can actually watch them work out. If it's a yearling sale, you're looking more for maybe walk and confirmation and, again, pedigree. And those bloodstock agents will help you assign kind of what value you think they're worth. And then it's public auction. And so if something goes for what you think it's worth, then you go ahead and, you know, you raise your hand and the hammer falls down, that's your horse. If you think that maybe somebody's overvalued and you kind of pass and go on to the next one, it's a very exciting, you know, part of the whole journey. So we attend almost every sale. Don't always walk away with horses. Like sometimes it just our value equation and the horses that are available just don't add up. Other times it works out great. We walk away with a handful of horses. But it's all kind of run by the bloodstock agents and that team.
Do you select the trainer first, or do you get the horse and then select the trainer?
It's a good question. I would say it depends. I mean, sometimes we'll actually go with the trainer and we'll kind of our bloodstock agents will say, hey, you know, trainer A, you know, do you like this horse? Which ones do you like? And so sometimes it can be very advantageous to work with a trainer and find a trainer that is also on the same horse. Not all trainers attend. Not all trainers are that participatory. So sometimes we'll buy a horse and we'll just think it's a perfect fit for the, you know, the given trainer. Because what we've learned over time, now we've been doing it for 8 years, is that each program is different. Some trainers seem to excel with one type of horse over another. And each stable will kind of decide, and My Race Horse has kind of decided that there are certain profiles of horses that we think match up really well with certain trainers. And so that's what we're looking to do. So if we didn't buy it with the trainer,
we're usually very, very intentional about buying a horse that meets a certain trainer. And a lot of times the trainers that we select are predicated on just the people, the partners on the platform, what they want. I mean, they vote with what they, you know, they invest in, what they purchase, right? So we're seeing a lot of people because, you know, Straight No Chaser wins the Eclipse Award and they want to go back to Dan Blacker, then, you know, we're going to accommodate that. We're going to buy more horses for Dan Blacker. You have Authentic or Seismic Beauty with Bob Baffert, we'll go back there as well. So a lot of times it's where we go is predicated just on the partners raising their hand saying, this is where I want to buy more horses.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I think that that's a very good point that a lot of people don't realize is there are different horses. And when we talk about, you know, different types, there are horses that are turf horses that run on grass. There are horses that are, you know, dirt. There are horses that run distance. There's horses that are kind of what they call sprint, shorter races. And then the other thing I think you have is, you know, certain trainers, it's getting less this way. They seem to be spreading out more, but there are certain trainers that kind of spend most of their time at certain tracks. So they kind of might be.
Coming up in about 4 minutes. You got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Sounds good. We have different trainers for different horses, depending on tracks, depending on horse. So I think that that's something that, you know, really gives people some insight of how much thought you guys put into this. So we're up against the hour, and I hate to do this, but we're going to have to continue our conversation another time. But I really appreciate you joining us. For anybody who has been intrigued by this and wants to look at getting more information, myracehorse.com is probably the best place to start, or download the Racehorse app, My Racehorse. You know, weekly updates about your horse, real-time workout reports and updates, you know, events, analysis, one-on-one contact with trainers, jockeys, and, you know, your other owners. You know, closing remarks, Michael, I mean, what would you tell somebody who's thinking about this and, you know, they're looking at, you know, something they want to get involved in to expand their travel, expand their experiences? You know, what's your suggestions to them other than the obvious, check out the website?
Yeah, I would just say find out what's important to you. You know, talk about it with your friends and your family you're going to share it with, because one of the best ways to enjoy racehorse ownership is to share it with family and friends. It's incredible the stories that we'll hear about how much a fractional share of a horse kind of brought a friend group or a family to kind of gather and bond it around the animal. So figure out what's important. Is it location? Is it trying to get in the big races? Is it having a young horse that you can kind of watch mature and visit, whatever it may be? So make sure you decide what's important to you, what you really want to start with. And then, you know, take your time and kind of find out what's right. And then go all in. Like, I think that's the most important part of it, is just embrace it. Like, sign up for the lottery to win. Yeah, and go for it. Meet people, join the owners groups, meet other owners and find out who they are and ask their experiences and come to all the events you can possibly come to and, you know, listen to great content like, you know, this podcast and, you know, different newsletters are out there to learn more about horse racing. Because once you learn about it, you're just going to have a tough time not falling in love with it. I think the biggest struggle that we face in horse racing is just getting people to give it a little bit of mind share. But once you give it some mind share, you find out why people like you and I are so passionate about it.
Absolutely. You know, we can't encourage people enough. Take a moment, check it out, myracehorse.com. Michael, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We're brought to you by Tony's Steak and Seafood. If you're in Lexington, check them out. If you're in Lexington, also check out oldfriendsequine.org. They are a great organization. It's one of the only places you can get upfront and personal with a racehorse. Kentucky Derby winners, Breeders' Cup winners, feed them a carrot. Michael Blown will show you around. Michael, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. This has been Hollywood and Horsepower, and we will see you guys again next week.
So stay a while. You're in the driver's seat where the road and the rhythm finally meet.
Stick around. You never know who's next. And trust me, They got a story worth hearing.